Passage taking from Psalms 122, please. Please turn your Bible to Psalms 122. We'll read that particular chapter and then go into the message proper. Thank you. All right, Psalm 122. All right, Psalm 122, it says, "It was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord.' Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces, for the sake of brethren and companionship. I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good." Thank you. Father, we thank you for this morning, for this psalms that's written for us. And sometimes when we read these psalms, we don't know the context. We don't know what is it all about. And so I pray that your Holy Spirit will open our eyes to see. Because these are the series of psalms, Lord, that your people will go up, Lord, to Mount Zion, Jerusalem, to worship you, Lord, at the temple. And Lord, they will sing each of these psalms. So I pray that you'll open our spiritual ears to hear and our hearts to receive, Lord, what you are speaking to us this morning. So we commit ourselves to you, and we ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will come in a very wonderful way, and it will touch, Lord, our heart, that the message will not go through one year and go out the other year. And so we ask that you will speak, Lord, in the way that you only know how to speak to us, in Jesus' most precious name. And God's people say, amen. Amen. As I said this morning, currently we are in this series of sermon called Ascend to Mount Zion. Today is part 3, and as you know, in the Old Testament, 3 times a year during the major feast, the day of Passover, the day of Pentecost, and the day of Tabernacle, every male Israelite is required to make this journey to Mount Zion in Jerusalem, to the temple, to offer sacrifices and worship unto the Lord. And on this pilgrimage journey, they will sing these 15 psalms, starting from Psalm 120, and then they will end at Psalm 134. And so each of these psalms is called and given an ancient title called a song or song of ascent. Now Zion in Jerusalem is a high place. It is a high calling. And God is calling us to come up higher to Mount Zion. A Christian who wants to attain spiritual Mount Zion must adopt this 15 attitude or steps that is embodied in this 15 psalms. And so for those who are not here for the past few weeks, now a quick summary of the recap of the previous 2 important psalms. The first step of ascent is Psalm 120. And from Psalm 120, we have learned that the first attitude for ascent is the love of truth and peace. Now, I can rephrase it as a love for truth and peace. Now, in terms of everyday application, what does it mean? Now, I'll flip it around to let you see, to illustrate, to see what I mean. Now, if you have no hesitation in lying and being dishonest in your dealing, and you're not truthful and don't mean what you say, then you have no love for the truth. You have no love for the truth. Then in that case, I'm afraid that you have difficulty in ascending to spiritual Mount Zion. So that is the first step. The love of truth and peace. Or in other words, the love for truth and peace. The second step of ascent is taken from Psalm 121. Now here the psalmist has learned to know where to get his answers from. Normally in times of trouble, we must first seek other sources for help. The Lord wants to wean us from this, to mature us. And so the psalmist has learned through the past lessons that that is not the way. And so in Psalm 121, he posed a question. He said, "From whence my help cometh from?" And then the emphatic answer that he gave is, "My help cometh from the Lord who make the heavens and the earth." In other words, the second attitude and the step required to ascend to Mount Zion is making God the first recourse and not the second or the third or the last resort. And when we are faced with many issues or problems in life, whether it is private or public, spiritual or secular, let God be our first recourse before we run to any other sources for help. And having sought God as a first recourse, God may subsequently still guide or direct us to other sources for help. So that is important. The main point here is that the first recourse for help is to seek God first. Seek God first. And today, we are going to turn to Psalm 122. And this is the third step of ascent. And this psalm is written by King David. King David. Psalm 122 is about Jerusalem and the house of God. And the psalmist started with the opening verse. He says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gate, O Jerusalem. Now the psalmist here expressed his delight and he's looking forward to go to God's house in Jerusalem to worship God. Now notice the word that he used. He said, I was glad. Number one, glad. And second thing he said, they said to me, let us. Now there are two terms, they, and they say, let us. Now these are community terms. They and let us are community terms. In other words, the psalmist is looking forward to joining a community of believers to worship the Lord. Now he is not a lone ranger Christian, but he is part of a larger community. And so why is the psalmist so glad and delighted to join others in worshiping God? That's a question I want to pose to you. So I want to ask you, are you glad? Are you glad when you come to the house of God? Or is it a drag to you? Is it an obligation? Is it a burden? Or you see it as a duty? Oh, another Sunday I have to go to church because I have this duty, religious duty or obligation, you know, to perform. No, so what is your attitude? What is your posture when you come to the church? Now, the psalmist is glad and looking forward to the house of God. Why? Because I submit to you that he has found a spiritual community, a family of belonging where he can call home. He knows where he belongs. He is always looking forward to be the part of that spiritual family to worship the Lord. And so the question is, what is the theme of Psalm 122 in a nutshell? It is about knowing where you belong. To ascend spiritually to Mount Zion, you need to know where you belong. In fact, verse 4 of the psalm says that the house of the Lord in Jerusalem is where the different tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel to give thanks to the name of the Lord. There are 12 tribes in Israel, and each tribe know exactly where they belong. Similarly, you belong to a particular spiritual community. You need to find a local church where you can call home, a community where you can be part of a spiritual family to worship God. Now in Australia, I noticed 90%, at least 90% of the Christian cannot find a local church where they can call it their spiritual home. Generally, people seem to like to go from church to church after a few years. And only a small percentage stay with a church for more than 10 years. Now, I know sometimes there are good and valid reasons for leaving a church. I don't discount that. But many, many do not seem to be able to find a right church for themselves to fit in the house of God. So point number two, why people generally cannot find the right church? The answer is this, because they are looking for a perfect church. Now a short story for illustration. There was once a very fussy man and looking for a perfect wife. And he was looking for 20 years. And he thought that after 20 years, he found one that he considered almost perfect wife. And he thought, that is it. And this is the girl that he wanted to marry. And unfortunately, The girl was also looking around for a perfect husband for 20 years. But the girl knew for sure that this man is definitely not the man. And so, it did not work out. The point is this. If you are looking for a perfect church, you are in deep disappointment. Because you will never find a perfect church on earth. And in this fallen world, you and I are imperfect people. And if you and I find a perfect church, the moment that you and I join the church, that church will become imperfect. Because you and I are imperfect. There's only one perfect person, and his name is Jesus. And he's no longer on earth, and he's in heaven at the right hand, at the throne of the Father. And so, having said that, it is not to say that you should just be flippant and belong to any church, but resolve in your heart. Point number three, resolve in your heart that you can never find a perfect church on earth, but you can find a good church where you belong, where you can call it your spiritual home. And Jesus wrote seven letters to the seven churches in the book of Revelation. And he gave an assessment, a report card of the status of the seven churches. And out of the seven churches, two of the churches has commendation only, and there's no rebuke at all. And there's one church with no commendation at all. And this is the Laodicean church. The other churches have a report card, a mixture of good and bad points, a mixture of commendation and rebuke. And I am sure we would like to belong to a church that has only commendation and no rebuke. And so finding and knowing where you belong spiritually is so important. And then point number four, people will be asking, all right, okay, show me, or rather help me and tell me how to find a good local church where you can call it home. Give me some pointers. And I suggest to you, look for a church, number one, where the pastor teach the full counsel of God and they do not preach a half-truth. Of course, the starting point is, first, it must be a church where the core doctrine is sound. It is not heresy. And so it's important not to go to a church that is cultish or even a sect. And so, number two, or rather, these pastors need to preach a full gospel. What do you mean by full gospel? A gospel of repentance and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. A half gospel is when you only believe and you don't need to repent. And so, a full gospel of repentance and belief. And then, the next thing is a message of love and judgment. Yes, God is love, but there is also judgment. And preach a gospel of heaven and hell. And don't say there is no hell when there is hell. Jesus talks about hell, you know, quite often in the gospel. And talk about blessings and suffering. Yes, you will receive a blessing in life, but at the same time, you will also go through the fellowship of Christ's suffering. And then, obviously, we have to look at the leadership. Because leadership of the church is the main conduit where God's words flow through. And so if the conduit is corrupted, dirty, even the God's word is pure, when it goes through a conduit that is corrupted, that is polluted, obviously the word that comes forth will be polluted. And so you need to look at the pastors, the leaders, that they have a good personal and a family track record. Now some people ask, what do you mean by good track record? Can you please elaborate? Now God has written it in the Bible, black and white, and it's found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 5. He says that this is a faithful saying. This is a trustworthy saying. He says that if a man desire the positions of a bishop is a pastor or an elder of a church, and he said he desires a good work. That is a good aspiration. But he also puts down the qualification of a bishop. He says that a bishop must be blameless. Now, blameless in what way? Then he'll give you all the, what you call, qualities. I'll go through each one of them. First, he must be a husband of one wife. And so you look at his marriage life. Has he been faithful to his spouse? Is his marriage whole or is it broken? That is the first quality. Second, must be a temperate man. And so you ask the question, is he someone who is impulsive and rash, doesn't think, you know, and then just kind of like a loose cannon, you know, just say whatever he wants. So is he a temperate person? Number three, sober-minded of good behavior. Is he free from excesses, extravagance, exaggeration? Is his sermon sober, generally trying, you know, to teach people about godliness and highlighting, you know, the eternal consequences after death? And then, or is he a person that try to entertain, make the people laugh and laugh, so as to keep the people? Now, the church is not an entertainment center. If you want entertainment, don't come to the church, because it's a serious matter. Nowhere in the Bible, I look at, you know, Jesus' message, he's trying to entertain people, because this is a message of eternal consequences. Anytime you die, and the moment you die, you are going to face every eternal consequences. Brothers and sisters, then therefore, this person must be sober-minded. This is not an entertainment center. All right, so the fourth thing is hospitable. Is he a friendly, a courteous person? Does he make you feel at home? Or is he aloof? He doesn't talk to people. You know, he doesn't make people feel at home. And fifth thing, is he able to teach? Very simple. Can you follow his message? Do you understand the message? Is he able to do that? Number six, not given to wine. Does he like to drink alcohol? Now, though drinking is not a sin, but drunkenness is. Zion Fellowship has adopted this unwritten policy. All those in the board are to totally abstain from wine or alcohol, because abstinence is the best policy to prevent being given to wine or drunkenness. Seven criteria. Not violent or arrogant. Is he a domineering person? Is he aggressive, a boastful person? This is the criteria. Number eight, not greedy for money or covetous. Does the church leadership, or how does the church leadership handle the finances? Does the leadership use technique to manipulate and to pressure people to give money financially while they are living in extravagance or in luxury? Now, unfortunately, I see a fair number of dubious ministers in the Pentecostal and the charismatic circle doing just that. Now, one of my Christian friends was so stumbled by some pastors abusing the church finances that he no longer attends a local church. And he went on to advise his children who attends a local church. He said to them, if a pastor or a church who does not publish their financial statement to its members for scrutiny, then he says, stay far away from that church. And so that is another criteria. Whether his covetousness, you know, look at all these things, whether he subject himself, you know, he put up the church financial statement for scrutiny by the members. Number nine, gentle, not quarrelsome. Is he a meek and a gentle person? Does he like to argue and quarrel over non-important issue? The bottom line and the general test is summarized in verse 4, which is the 10th criteria. One who rules his own house well, having his own children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Now, I'm not saying that the pastors and the elders must be perfect and make no mistake at all. What I'm saying is that his personal and family life must be generally beyond reproach. And so these are the two main considerations in looking for a church. If these two things don't match up, no point having good friends in the church, because all you're getting is a polluted message. You know, your walk in life is going to be affected spiritually. And so, I know there are some other considerations, but these are the two main considerations. Now, the next point is this. God created us to belong to a community. And it's important to find where you belong. Because God created us for connection with fellow human beings in a community. And when God called Abraham, his promise to him was not to make him alone a great man, but ultimately to make Abraham a great nation. And when Jesus taught us to pray, it is not, you know, my Father in heaven, but our Father in heaven. Now, these community terms teach us the importance of having a close relationship with other people in God's family. When it comes to a church, the writer of the Hebrews say, forsake not the assembly of yourself together, especially during the last days. And God created us for relationship, vertical relationship with God in heaven, and a horizontal relationship with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And the soul and the spirit cannot be fully fulfilled unless we have a healthy relationship with God and fellow being on earth. And inside each one of us, there is a longing to find a home, a community to belong to. Some of you have come to from a broken home. You do not really know what it is. I mean, ask God to show you what a healthy home it is. Now, the church is not a program. It is not even a physical building that you're talking about. The local church is something, is not something that you go to. Church is something that you belong to. It is not a location or an event. Church is a relationship. Church are not just for attending. And church is a relationship. And there, it is there for you to join, to be a member. And after pastoring many years, I hear some disgruntled and a deeply hurt Christian saying, this church membership is all man-made. Nowhere in the Bible it says about church membership. Who says so? I challenge you, who says so? Did not Apostle Paul say in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, he said, therefore, you are no longer strangers or foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. You are supposed to belong to a household, a particular local household, a local church. And then Paul further talks about it in Romans chapter 12. Let's read verse 3 to verse 5. Romans chapter 12, please. Verse 3 to verse 5. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but not all the members do, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. And so isn't this about membership? This is about church membership. We are, the sixth point, we are to be members of his body. The body is his church. The members function to serve the body, not the body to serve the members. You must get the priority right. You know, you must serve the body of Christ. You must become, you know, a member to serve. And we are not to think more highly than we ought to. And God provides a place for you to belong in his body. His body is where you need for belonging and acceptance. And your church is your spiritual home and family. And so, together, Point number 7, we are a body, yet each member is different. And God wants not only a family, but a diverse family. Each one is different and unique. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are all so different. They are 12 sons of Jacob. They are also so diverse. You can also see when Jesus selected his 12 disciples, he chose Peter, the fisherman. And Peter always speaks before he thinks. Most times say the wrong thing and get into trouble. Of course, that was initially. Later on, he changed. And then Jesus chose the bad-tempered James and John. How do we know? Because they were given the nickname Sons of Thunder. And he chose Simon, the zealot, the underground freedom fighter. As though it was not diverse enough, he also chose Matthew, the tax collector. And many hated Matthew because he worked for the Roman colonial master to collect tax from his own people, the Israelites. And so you can see they are all so different from one another. Now, initially, they started out not liking one another because they are from different background, different personality, and different temperament. Yet, they committed themselves to live as a spiritual family. They had differences, they quarrel with one another, they argue about who is the greatest among the lot. And at one point, many disciples left Jesus. And Jesus was asking for their commitment, John 6:66. And they all decided to stick with Jesus and with one another as a spiritual family. And after Jesus ascended to heaven, they are all now learning to pray together with one accord in the upper room. And at the end of their life, they were totally changed. They became a united family. Their love for God and one another grew to the point that all the apostles were willing to die for the Lord. The same God requires of us to commit ourselves to live as a spiritual family. Because Jesus taught us in the Bible about love, forgiveness, and forbearance. And as we interact with one another, whether in speech or in our action, we are bound to step on one another's toe, hurt one another, and periodically we say the wrong thing. At times, we may be misunderstood, maybe misconstrued. And some may say, I will leave this church because I don't like this person. He is a big mouth. You go to the next church and you'll find another person with a bigger mouth. God, in his wisdom, has distributed this flock of folks among the churches, some more, some less than others. God has designed this into the church so that through the people that we don't like, we learn about love, forgiveness, long-suffering, and forbearance. And through this, we learn to mature. No matter where you go, you will face issues of different form and different shape. And so don't run away from them. If you leave, you will never grow in love and maturity. Learn to resolve the issue in God's way. Learn to overcome and get along with people. Now, in the Old Testament, first there was a tabernacle, temporary structure, and then there was a temple made of stones, physical stone. And in the New Testament, God is now building a new temple, no longer a physical material temple, but a spiritual temple made of living stone, you, making a you and I as the living stone. And so this spiritual temple is called the New Jerusalem, the bride of Christ. Read in Revelation chapter 21, a living temple for his own, for God's own habitation, that he may dwell in it through the Holy Spirit. And God wants to build us and fit us together as a church to become his living temple. Scripture, other scripture basis. 1 Peter 2:4, You are being a all living stones being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Another reference, Ephesians 2:22. We are being built, we are being fitted together for God's dwelling place. Now, some Christians don't like to make adjustment to fit in the church or with other people because they expect the church and others to adjust and fit with their wants and desire. When you join a church, you were initially not fit, for sure. So point number 8, to be built and fitted together in His living temple, we need to be cut, we need to be chiseled, we need to be polished. Are you willing to be cut, chiseled, and polished? So for example, when a master craftsman has a master plan to construct a house, when he gets the raw material from the quarry, the size and the shape will not, of the stone will not exactly fit initially. It will have, you know, all the different rough edges. The master craftsman has to cut, has to chisel, and then to the right size, and then polish all the rough edges so that it will fit and it will be placed in the particular spot in the master design and plan. And so the cutting, the chiseling, the polishing process is not instantaneous, but it takes a long period. And if the living stone is not cooperative and pliable, refuse to be cut, chiseled, and polished, what will God, the master craftsman, do? What do you think He will do? He will just throw that stone into a pile of rubble in the quarry. And you see this in a construction site. Things that don't fit, He just throw into the rubble. Not yet, thank you. Not that screen yet. And so, do you want to be what Ephesians chapter 2:20 says? Being joined and fitted together as a family. Grow into a holy living temple in the Lord. Being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And so to be fitted and joined in the family of God, in the local church, it does not just happen because we come together every Sunday for worship, or even Wednesday for prayer, or even Friday life group. A living temple is not built up just by attending and listening to sermon. Family is built up when we share each other's life. Many times to the point of hurt. You have a family, I have family. At times, my children are difficult. We have to punish them. We have to discipline them. At times, they hurt us. At times, we also hurt them. We exasperate them. And so, we come to discover each other's sensitive spot. And in this kind of family environment, we need to make time to interact with people. Share our struggle, our inadequacy, our defects. Share our joy and our sorrow, our success and our failure together. And go through, you know, crisis and difficulties together. And should a person fall into a serious sin, he or she may be disciplined, but may this repentant person know that he or she is still loved, forgiven, and fully accepted. The discipline process is not punitive, but redemptive. The purpose is for restoration. And these are profound moments for anyone to experience outside the biological family. Only when life is shared in this various way in the church, it becomes a family. God is not looking for a big crowd of impersonal people gathering for events or meeting. God is primarily looking for a family. Jesus says, love one another just as I have loved you. And Jesus taught us to pray, our Father in heaven. Father is a family term. And He wants us to have a mindset of a family member, to relate with one another as family members. And may God, by His grace, impart this so-called family mindset of belonging into each one of us, so that this church can become a strong, a healthy, and a loving spiritual family. And in doing so, may God find a delight to dwell and to manifest His presence, glory, and kingdom authority in this local family and temple. And so, point number 9. Every believer has two choices. Next slide, please. To cooperate with God's building process or to reject God's building process. And so here the choice is this. If you cooperate with God's building process, it means that at times you'll be cut, you'll be chiseled, you'll be polished. Yes, it is painful. But if you do it God's way, love, forgive, forbear, make adjustment, repent, then you become that stone that fit into the house of God. If you are in that group one, you cooperate with God's building process, you become that beautiful and glorious building that God intended it to be. But if you don't cooperate, I'm going to leave. I just can't stand these people. There's no love, there's no forgiveness, there's no forbearance. What happened? And God do it many times. You refuse. God say, this is an item, this is a person that's not going to make adjustment and try to fit and does not want to cooperate, want to reject God's way of building. Go into the rubble. Which group do you want to belong at the end? You want to belong to this first one or the second one? You have the choice to make. These are serious stuff. If you go for choice one, you will be like the psalmist. You will be glad when people say to you, let us go to the house of God to worship Him. Why? Because you're going into this place eventually. You're building yourself going to this place. But if you are not going to be that type who cooperate, you will be number two. Going to church is a drag. I'm going to see this difficult person again. You know, so on and so forth. It's going to be a burden, but I go there, you know, because it's my duty. You're going to be in the group two. Now, I, for sure, don't want all of you to come to church as an obligation, that it become a burden or duty. But come because it is a joy, it's a delight. Yes, there will be difficult person that you don't like, but you have to go through that process. You will not like them initially. They are pain in your neck. But as you go through it, you will develop love, forgiveness, and forbearance. And adopt this attitude. Because you are going to your heavenly Papa house. I'm here to promote the well-being of our Papa house. Because this is Papa house. Now, many of you may not have come from a family with good fatherly figure. And sometimes, you know, you don't know what a joyful and a happy family is. That is fine. But you say, Lord, I may not have come from that family, but I'm going to do my part as a father or mother. You know, the bad father or mother figure that I see when I was young, it is a learning point for me. I'm not going to be like that when I grow up to be a father. I don't come from a good father's figure. But I love my father. And I tell God that when I grow up, I become the father. I'm not going to do those things that he committed. So, turn the negative into a positive. And as you seek the Lord,
you are able to. And praise God, there are family, I have a children, three children, and they all come back to the house. They're looking forward with their children. I have grandchildren, now three grandchildren, and fourth on the way. And they all look forward to coming to the house. Even though I don't have a good previously father's figure, but I learned from the negative. Don't be like that. That's not the way to be a father. This is learn from the Lord, and God will give you the virtue of how to be a good father. And so adopt this attitude. I'm coming to Papa's house. This is Papa's house, our Papa's house. And therefore, I care, I love, I learn to forgive, I learn to forbear. Last but not least, Psalm 122 has other things to say about the house of God in Jerusalem. Verse 5 it says, "For thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David." Jerusalem is the religious and political capital of Israel. And in the Old Testament, the temple in Jerusalem was the place where God's manifest presence was. And in Jerusalem, God's counsel was given, and wisdom is dispensed from there, and where judgment is made, and then later decree. And in the New Testament, the church is now God's temple. It's written in the Bible, because God is not looking for a temple made by hands. God is now looking for a temple, you know, made up of living stones. And so when you come to church with the hunger and thirst for the word that is dispensed through the sermon, you will be imparted with the precious dosage of God's counsel and wisdom. Now, that is why I have nothing to say when I come here. I have only things to say from the Bible. And if I'm going to say my own things, you must not, don't come. But you come here to listen to the Word of God. And every Sunday, we have a text trying to explain to you the text, trying to explain to you how we can learn, how we can apply in our life. That is the whole crux of coming to church, listening to God's Word. And then in the process, you will learn, you will gain good judgment or situation of character, and then later able to pass good judgment. And sometimes a lot of things so complicated, we cannot, you know, discern how to judge the situation, the person, the character, so on and so forth. But sometimes this is an art, previously, but it is not an art, because when you listen and more of God's Word with thirst and hunger, you are able to gain that judgment. And then you are able to have a good judgment and able to pass good judgment. But the qualifier is you have the hunger and thirst for God's Word. If you come here just as a duty, you know, just go through the motion and then just listen to the sermon but not even attentive, nothing will go inside your spirit. So conversely, if you don't come with hunger and thirst, you will not grow in God's counsel, wisdom and good judgment. Words will go through one year and will come out the other year. Where on earth it talks about this, Pastor? Matthew chapter 13. Jesus gave a parable that the word of God is like the seed, and then it comes forth, but it falls on different ground. Stony ground, some good ground. And then he said, it yield forth some yield forth nothing, zero. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Nothing wrong with God's word, the seed that is being dispersed right now. Something wrong with the soil. Whether the soil is receptive, fertile, that is your choice to make. So, I'm being serious here. I'm not a salesman. No, I'm not doing sales talk, sweet talk. I'm talking something serious stuff here. And so verse 6 to verse 9. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your wall. Prosperity within your palace. For the sake of my brethren and companion, I will now say,
peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. The New Testament bride of Christ is called New Jerusalem. Revelation chapter 22. We have a natural Jerusalem, physically located in Israel. And we also have now a spiritual Jerusalem. And so those who pray for the peace and good of Jerusalem, natural Jerusalem, as well as the spiritual Jerusalem, which is the church, will prosper in the spirit and soul. Many people like to have material prosperity. I choose to leave that out. God will take care of that. But first, your spirit and your soul must prosper. What is the point of having material prosperity when your spirit and soul is bankrupt? When you go to heaven, it's zero. If your spirit and soul, you know, is bankrupt, no point having all your material prosperity. You can have $100 billion when you die. You can't take any dollar, not even a cent with you. But when your spirit and your soul prosper, wow, when you go up to heaven, you are spiritually a billionaire. That is the most important. So peace is not the absence of strife, but oneness with God and your fellow brothers and sisters. Why did David, the composer of this psalm, pray for the peace and good of Jerusalem? Because Jerusalem is the capital city of God on earth. It is the channel through which God has chosen to work through in a unique and in a special way. Similarly, we also need to pray and bless the church, the bride of Christ, the new Jerusalem. Because that is the body, the channel through which God has chosen to work and to bless. What is the scripture basis? Ephesians chapter 3 verse 10. God says that He has chosen to demonstrate His manifold wisdom to the principality and power through what? Through the church. He's going to use the church to demonstrate all His manifold wisdom. And so I'm going to bring this sermon to a close. It is important to know where you belong. A church where you can call home. In closing, I want to speak to two groups of people. Group number one, for those who has made Zion as your home church. You know God has put you here, and this is where you belong. And I thank the Lord for you all. But please make effort to interact with those who are not too long here. Try not to be cliquish. Be hospitable and make these people feel at home. You need to do that. Share your life. Group number two. For those who do not currently feel that this is where you belong. You have been wandering perhaps around for many years, many times. And currently you may have been attending Zion for a period of time. But you're not sure whether this is where you belong. And pray and ask God to show you. And if you pray and God is silent and did not indicate yes or otherwise, your general principle is stay where you are. Some people get confused when they pray God did not reply. What does that mean? It means don't do anything, stay where you are, status quo. So please consider making this your home church. But then also please make effort to interact around, to know more people. It takes two hands to clap. Share your joy and your struggle, your prayer requests, and let us go through good and bad times together. We are a spiritual family. We are here to support one another. And as we all do our part, may God build and fit us together into unity and grow us into a holy temple that God may find it a delight to dwell in the Spirit in Zion Fellowship Perth. May we also find it a delight eventually to come to this spiritual family to worship God corporately every week. That we can be like the psalmist say. He is glad when people, you know, invite him and ask him to go to the house of God in Jerusalem to worship the Lord. The Lord bless you with this message. Thank you. Can I get the musicians to come forward, please?